The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
And hello and welcome to the Franchise Academy Radio Show. My name is Tom Skarda, and we are excited tonight because we have a cool show, something a little bit different. This is a lot of teaching tonight. So we talk everything franchising on this show, how to start a franchise, how to buy a franchise, how to sell a franchise, essentially anything and everything you ever wanted to know about franchising, this is the place to ask. If you want to call in, by the way, we have a number to call in. If you are listening live right now, it's 8:07 p.m. Eastern in New York, and the number here is 631-451-1039, which is 103.9 FM is where that comes from. So again, 631 area code 451-103.9. I'm here with the illustrious Gina Skarda, my wife.
Illustrious.
I like that word.
Do you?
It describes you well.
Does it?
You're glowing and illustrious.
All right, whatever.
We have a cool teaching show. We're going to talk tonight about creating your expert status in your business, whatever that business is. Gina and I have been on and featured in many magazines and news articles, TV shows, radio shows, all that kind of stuff. And it's not that difficult to do. It takes some persistence. We're going to talk about that in depth. Tonight, we're also going to talk about how to work with your spouse without going to jail, which is something that I'm an expert on at this point in my life. So Gina and I have run franchises together and learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes, and came away with a lot of stuff to be able to teach. So we're going to talk about that tonight as well. And we're also going to talk about what we're in the process of doing is how to start a podcast, which, again, anybody could do. A podcast is really just a radio show, but without having the radio station. You don't need it, you know, with technology now. So we're going to talk about that as well. So, Gina.
Yes, Thomas.
So why are you saying, you're like, what are you talking about?
Well, we don't really know much about starting a podcast because we haven't done that yet. But but yes, we are experts at the other things because we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Well, this show, the Franchise Academy Radio Show, is podcasted every week. Yeah. So I know about how to get it to a podcast platform and how to create that platform. So I think enough about it where I can talk a little bit and get people in the right direction at the very least. You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
But okay.
Oh, we'll see. Okay. I think, well, I have a podcast and you don't, so there. Nah, nah, nah. So the thing that we like to talk about most, though, is, you know, how to create your life, how to create your own reality. So a little bit of understanding how life works and the law of attraction, which Gina is an expert in. A lot of her friends and family say she has the Midas touch. Whatever she works on turns to gold. And you know, a lot of it does, and it's because that's what she expects to happen. So we'll talk about that. But there's a cough button. So next time you cough or sneeze, you got to hit the button.
There's a button?
Yeah.
Where's the button?
The button? The button? I don't know where the button is. My button is over here on my thing, on my console. But
you got a thing? Yeah. I don't got a thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, but you're
all right. All right, whatever.
Whatever, I don't have
Maybe you should take a drink or something.
I'm going to.
Have some water. So Gina and I, you know, both were civil servants at the beginning of our career. Gina became a New York City police officer in 1987, and that was in July of 87. In June of 87, I became a New York City subway conductor, and we worked those jobs for quite a while. Gina was a cop for 20 years. She got promoted to sergeant and did a lot of cool things within that career of 20 years in the NYPD. I was with Transit for 13 years and did a bunch of things as well in 13 years. But in 2000, we decided to buy a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we do that?
You were tired of the Long Island Railroad, I believe.
That could be it. Not only did I get tired of riding on the railroad, I got tired of working for the railroad. I think we always
it's like
had
a song. Yeah. I've been working on the railroad.
Yeah, way too long.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, so we decided to get into a franchise. We got together with a consulting company that I actually now work with, a company called Franchoice. They matched us to something called Maui Waui Smoothies.
But what was great was we, because we were looking for a business at the time, we kind of found it on our own first. So when they matched us, it was
a mitzvah.
Sign. Yeah.
Right, it was a sign from God.
It was a sign.
And I think in life you have to look out for signs, right?
Because how many franchises are there, Tom?
Well, currently there's 4,100 franchise opportunities in America.
In how many industries?
In 90 different industries.
That's a lot to pick the same one that we were looking at.
Yeah, we were really, really hot on it. You know, back, we're talking about, it was the year 2000, and the internet was kind of feeble back then, but we found this thing called Maui Waui Smoothies. I didn't say anything to the franchise consultant, and then she kind of threw it at me and said, hey, this is kind of new, but it might be something you're interested in. And I was like, holy mackerel, I was going to ask you about that franchise. So I knew that there was something there, that it meant something. And so you have to look out for the clues in life, and you have to listen to your gut a lot.
I mean, a lot of people would call that a coincidence, but that is a crazy coincidence. Because, you know, yeah, most people, when they're looking at franchises, they're looking at the things they use every day. You know, the Subways, the McDonald's, the Dunkin' Donuts, those kind of things. But this was something that was not in New York at all. We never really even heard of it.
And I mean, you really didn't even hear of smoothies in New York
in
2000.
They weren't really big in New York.
So we took a risk.
We did take a risk.
And it was a small company that was just starting out. But the nice thing about, you know, we were like the 25th franchisee. And the nice thing about starting out as one of the younger franchisees is that you get a lot of hands-on help from the executive team at the franchise company. You know, typically I recommend don't buy a franchise unless they have at least 25 franchisees up and running successfully for a year. That's a good rule of thumb. But sometimes there's exceptions to the rule. I found that this franchise was great. And by the way, you may not know Maui Waui Smoothies, even though they have hundreds of units all around not only the country, they're around the world. But it's a tiki hut on wheels, essentially, is what it is. So we would take these, you know, it was really a street fair type of thing. So it was meant to go into the state fair and the street fair and that kind of thing. But we had a bigger vision. We thought that maybe we could get this thing into some, you know, big buildings. And one of the first locations I got was the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan, which was awesome.
And we were just brand spanking new in the business.
Yeah.
And
we didn't even have the cart yet.
Yeah. And what did they tell you when you told them you were going after this?
Well, the president of Maui Waui said we're hunting elephants, and not to be disappointed when they tell me no.
But they didn't say no. They said yes.
Right.
And, you know, it's a big lesson because you really have to just get out there.
And I want to give props to Greg Fainer in case he happens to be listening, because Greg Fainer runs the Javits Center, and he's been there for years. He's still there, and he's the guy that gave us our shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give props to Greg.
He knew we had something.
Yeah, he... Well,
he recognized
what he
it.
Said later on, you know, probably 2 years later, is that he needed something that was going to be cool on the floor of the convention center, not in the food court. So what he was able to do is take these little tiki huts and set them up on the floor in between all the boring, you know, booths and the convention.
Yeah, and we were really cute. We had little Hawaiian shirts. Every drink had an umbrella. So right. It was colorful.
Fresh fruit hanging from the canopy and everything. So
my monkey, remember the monkey?
Yeah, we had
a little monkey.
I had a monkey on my back. But it was a cool little concept, and it was great. And we built it into three locations. So the main locations we had were the Jacob Javits Convention Center. If you're here in New York, you know Jones Beach Theater. You probably saw some concerts there. We were there from 2001 to 2005 serving smoothies. And also the Nassau Coliseum for Islander hockey games when the Islanders used to play at the Nassau Coliseum. Maybe they'll be back. We'll see. But it was great. We also worked in Westbury Music Fair. And we worked in... we had a little spot in Long Beach for 2 summers in an old bar called Turquoise, if you remember Turquoise, if you're a Long Beach person. So It went really, really well. And then we were at a, we were doing a, some things you never forget, a Jimmy Buffett concert. Oh. We're doing a Jimmy Buffett concert, and the guy came up to me and he said, "Hey, this is a great concept. I love it. I want to buy this franchise and put it in the Javits Center." And I said, "Well, that's great, but I already did that."
Too late.
So, but anyway, we exchanged information. He had an ulterior motive. He wanted to get something else into that center, which was waffles and ice cream, which is a pretty great concept, actually, but it was not a franchise. And if you're not a franchise, it's hard to get the attention of a big venue like the Javits Center. And Greg actually said one of the reasons he took my phone calls because we were a franchise, so there was credibility behind that, which is a cool thing for being in, you know, one of the reasons to be in a franchise. You know, frankly, I didn't need a franchise to figure out how to make blended drinks. I mean, you could figure that out, but you need the credibility a lot of times, and that's one of the attributes of a great franchise model.
And plus the system.
Yeah, the system is fantastic, but a lot of people looking at franchising, and a lot of my clients say to me, "Hey, you know, why do I need a franchise to clean houses?" Well, you don't. You could go do it yourself. But if you wanted to really expand it and go, you know, you're buying down your ramp up time and buying up the time to break even and make a profit in the business. That's really what you're doing. So you are paying fees, but you're getting help and you're getting knowledge for that money. And I call the fees tuition up front, quite frankly. Tuition up front. So, you know, if you start from scratch, you're going to make a lot of mistakes, you know, in the first couple of years. And the franchise helps you not make those mistakes.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Makes great sense, yeah.
It seems like I'm boring you. I don't know.
No. You're all right. Very exciting.
So anyway, we ended up selling that franchise to that gentleman in 2005. And Franchoice asked me to come on board and help people do what I've done. And I was basically semi-retired at that point. And I said, sure, I'll come on and help people buy franchises and show them the ropes. And so I've been now doing that for 13 years. But Gina was getting ready to retire from the police department in 2007. And around 2006, we decided, let's get her a franchise that she could run when she retires. And we bought a concept, kind of really sight unseen, called Super Suppers. Super Suppers.
Now, mind you, this is a concept that I fell in love with. I did not go through the franchise process because I wanted this concept. I didn't care what Tom said. I wanted it. And it seemed to be a great concept, right? It did. It seems to be a great concept.
The concept was real simple. You come to our location, you make meals following our recipes, using our food, you make dinner in bulk, and you take them home, and you, before they're even cooked, you take them home and freeze them. And on days when you're busy, you throw these meals in the oven and you have a home-cooked meal in 20 to 40 minutes, depending on what it is. And it's just a great thing. And for a working mom like Gina, it totally made perfect sense.
But it made cooking social, too, which I liked, because it was a food prep kitchen, but it was beautiful. We had wine. You came with your friends. You used our recipes. We prepped all the ingredients. We did all the cleanup. So it was such a fantastic idea for someone, a working mom like myself, to be like, wow, I love this idea.
Yeah.
And everyone else loved it, too. And we had major coverage when we first came to Long Island because we were the first ones in the New York area. I was actually on the front cover of the New York Times with the business.
Sunday New York Times.
The Sunday New York Times, the front cover.
Front cover. And Newsday.
And Newsday as well.
Here on Long Island actually did a whole pullout section.
Right.
Two pages just on Super Suppers in Bethpage.
Yep.
So that was really... really something.
We were on Glenn Beck.
But Glenn Beck was on CNN.
Right.
He had a show
on
CNN.
Something
on
me. Yeah.
And then he did a segment on Super Suppers and Gina.
So it was a lot of fun.
11 different TV shows. I just want to make
Yeah,
that
we
clear.
Were on 11 different TV shows. Yeah. It was great. So the first 6-8 months, business was going fantastic. It was going swimmingly. Everything was going great. And then people stopped coming in as often. And we realized that it wasn't that the concept wasn't great, because it is. The idea is fantastic, but the business required people to change their habits. And that was the biggest problem.
Right. In 19 months, we were out of business and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on that deal.
Yeah.
And
it's just easier to call up and order a pizza.
Yeah, or stop into, you know, your local Stop and Shop or ShopRite or whatever, and they have meals to go.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. So that was the big lesson that we learned, and I talk about it in my book, Franchise Savvy, how you really have, unless you have a lot of time and a lot of money, it's really hard to change someone's habit, especially when it comes to eating food. So, you know, and I talk about my experience when I was working in the marketing department at the MTA, New York City Transit. I was working with launching the MetroCard back in the 90s. Mm. And back then, we couldn't get people off of tokens. And it was ingrained. The only way we were able to do it is by taking tokens away. This is the way we did it. And sure. if you could remember, if you're a transit buff, the MetroCard was actually blue and not gold. Back at the beginning, we had to change it to the gold card, and that's when we took the tokens away. I forget what year that was. It had to be somewhere around 93-ish, 95-ish, 96, whatever. But I was working on that campaign, and it was interesting because at Super Suppers, Kim Severinsen, who wrote the article in the Sunday Times about us, and now she is the editor for all of the food articles in, you know, worldwide, globally for the Times. At least I remember seeing that on LinkedIn last year. But anyway, she said that we were going to change the way people eat the way McDonald's and Swanson did 50 years ago. And that was music to my ears. And I wish she was correct, but it didn't work out. So other lessons that we learned, though, really interestingly, is that, you know, it was a lifestyle thing. Like, you know, we had, our kids were young, you know, younger teeny boppers back then. And they, you know, we wanted to be home with them. But when do people come to Super Suppers? When they're home from work, nights and weekends.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, Gina found herself working nights and weekends.
Which I really didn't want to do.
And that really stung. And plus, she was still working as a police sergeant.
Right. So I was coming home from work because I hadn't retired yet. Going straight to work, and it was just a lot. And, you know, one of the great things about going through the franchise process that you do with your candidates is that that would have came out right up front. Right, I don't know why we didn't do that with me. I guess I was too hard-headed to even think about that, but yep. That would have came right out front. If you don't want to work nights and weekends, then you don't buy this business, you buy this business. So, you know, we did learn a lot. And now I recommend anybody who's thinking about going to buy a business to go through the process of getting matched to the ones that fit your skills and personality, because, yeah, it's just so worth it both in your time and your pocketbook.
Yeah, for sure. and you know, one of the big lessons here, and that's really, you know, the failure is really what made us franchise experts,
mm-hmm.
more than the Maui Waui success, which was a huge success. But going through that failure is where we learned a lot. And another lesson that we learned is don't become infatuated with a concept. You know, you might love, you know, XYZ. You might be on vacation and see this thing and say, hey, it's not in my town. There's none of these on Long Island. I want to be the first one. And sometimes it's just, you know, it might be the right thing for Long Island, but it might be the wrong thing for you. So you got to really know the business. More than that, we pre-screen all the franchises. So we know the background of these companies, the leadership. We look at the franchise disclosure document to make sure there's no litigation. So, you know, there's a lot of franchises we just wouldn't even touch. And they're brand names. They might have, you know, a few thousand units in the United States. But when you look at their franchise disclosure document or you talk to their franchise owners and the franchise owners are not happy, you know, we wouldn't even present it to one of our clients or candidates because it just doesn't make sense to go down that road.
So we have less than 2 minutes until the break now, and I wanted to. We said we were going to talk about how people can get press and PR and media coverage for their business.
Yeah.
We didn't get around to it in this first half. But we're going to talk about it in the second.
For sure.
And let's talk about some of the things we've been able to get in and do as far as media coverage over the past, you know, few years.
I mean. Yeah. So if you want to call in, by the way, we're taking calls at 631 area code. 631-451-1039. Again, 631-451-1039. Call in. So, yeah, we've been in some major things and some minor things. But
yeah, but, I mean, some big things. Never mind the minor things. I mean, the list is really long.
Well,
but some of the great things, I mean, you are a contributor to Entrepreneur, which is fantastic.
I became a contributor because of the things I was being quoted in. So
right.
So it was a mutual meeting through right. Noah Lamb, a friend of mine.
Just quoted this month in Success Magazine.
Yeah.
You were in Forbes and Cranes and New York Times. There's just so much. And I've been in a lot too.
More Magazine for you.
I was in More Magazine. I was also in Forbes.
You were in Forbes, and then More saw you and put you on
the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda. Yeah.
Right.
Diane Sawyer, World News Tonight.
World News Tonight, did a profile on Gina.
Yeah.
So we're gonna
talk about that when we come back.
Yeah. How you could do it yourself.
Yeah.
It is not difficult.
It's not hard.
It takes a little bit of effort. So this is the Franchise Academy Radio Show. We're gonna be back in a couple of minutes, taking a little break, but stay tuned. We got some really cool stuff we're gonna explain and share. Out the door. Be right back.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
And now back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Welcome back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show.
Can we call it the Tom and Gina Show tonight?
This is the Tom and Gina Show. We should be playing Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that's right.
Tom used to work on the docks and Gina worked in the diner all day.
Yeah.
Tommy and Gina.
That's us.
Yeah. John wrote that song about us.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because whenever we meet somebody, I said, yeah, it's like the Bon Jovi song. And they look at me like I have three heads. Like, doesn't everybody know that song?
I think once you say what it is and say the words, Living on a Prayer.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about getting media coverage for your business. Don't sing, Tom. Don't sing.
I'm trying to get Mike to bring up Living on a Prayer.
No. Don't.
Mike, our illustrious, I'm using that word again, our illustrious engineer.
So we're going to talk about getting media coverage and PR for your business.
This is really important.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the most important thing you could do.
Getting your name out there, right? It's free marketing.
But more than that, it makes you an expert in your industry.
Exactly.
And what you need, if you own a franchise, say you buy a carpet cleaning franchise, you need to be the expert of carpet cleaning in your city.
Right. If you have a nail salon, you need to be the expert of nails in your city.
And how do you become an expert? You get quoted by the media that calls you an expert.
Right.
That's how you do it. And you get a couple of those quotes under your belt. You post a couple of things on social media now, which makes it even easier. And now all of a sudden you're the expert. So if you have the media calling you an expert, you're an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have, you know, other people calling you an expert, you know, such as clients, then you got it made and you are established in your market and really cemented in. And I can't say enough about
it. So let's talk about where they can find reporters looking for people to feature in their articles and stories and books. And then I want to talk a little bit about how to pitch the media, how to write that pitch.
So before, there's a free source now to be sourced for an article. Prior to that, we'll talk about that in a minute. Prior to that, you would have to pay. It would be like $100 a month, and you would get leads directly to your email from a company, you know, based on your expertise and what your field is.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Janel, who owns PR Leads out in Minneapolis, PRLeads.com, that was the first thing that I signed up for. And I was paying a couple of bucks a month. And I got quoted in a couple of things.
Yeah, it's great.
But he also taught me how to pitch the media.
Right.
And how to write an email when somebody
says...
Right,
he has service besides this other free service. Is you're on your own. However,
they do a little bit of teaching, but you have to do it on, you know.
It is great, and it's called Help a Reporter Out.
H-A-R-O.
Harrow, H-A-R-O. But it's helpareporterout.com. Right. And no matter what industry you're in, there's someone looking for information. Now, sometimes the industry, it's just the industry, and you have to, like, make yourself fit into a Harrow.
Right, but you can't. You have to be legit.
You have to be legit. You can't
stretch. You can't lie that or stretch the truth of who you are.
Give an example. Give an example.
Like, you know, let's see. I can't think of something at the moment. Example, like what?
Like, you're, well, for you, for example, you are a franchise expert, and one of the things was talking about how minimum wage is going to affect businesses. You can speak on that because you're an expert in a franchise. So if you are a nail expert and the thing is, you know, talking about spa salons and the dangers of going to the spa or something like that, maybe you can speak on something like that. So you have to kind of look through, and it's categorized. There's business, there's lifestyle.
Health and industry.
There's health.
Travel.
Yeah, so it's kind of broken down. You get 3 emails a day from them.
If you sign up for it.
If you sign up for it. And again, it's free. And you just look through it every day. And I have to tell you, it does take a little bit of time because there is a lot of stuff. But I...
It takes me a minute to go through it.
All right. Takes
I mean, after a while, you know what you're looking for. And I want to give props to Peter Shankman, who is the creator of Harrow, a fellow New York City guy. And... I know he doesn't know who I am, but I know who he is, and he recently sold the company. He still works with them and helps them out a lot, but you know, it's a great service. And from that service, we have been quoted in dozens and dozens of magazines.
Yeah, so many.
And
some of them are big. I answered one that was said anonymous. Sometimes they don't tell you what the source is, and those are usually the really good ones, but hint, hint. So I answered one, and with somebody who had made a change, reinvented themselves.
That's who they were looking for.
They were looking for someone who reinvented themselves. So I answered it because I was a cop, and now I'm a comedian and an actress. And it ended up being for More Magazine, and I had...
More Magazine is big. I mean, if you're a guy, you probably don't know More Magazine.
You probably
magazine.
Don't know. It's for women 40 and over, which, you know, it's... Oh, God. But
yeah.
Anyway, I was featured in that magazine. And not only was I featured in that magazine, because of that, the editor of More Magazine was invited to be on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda. And who did she call to come onto the show with her but me? So as a residual... effect of the More Magazine.
Good word.
Thank you. I liked it.
As a residual.
I got to be on the Today Show. And then they saw me. Someone else saw me. I don't know. I don't know how I got on it, but I was also on Diane Sawyer's World News Tonight.
Yep. The Toyota Venza commercial happened at that time.
Yep. I got the Toyota Venza commercial also from Answering a Harrow, I believe.
Well, I thought it was an offshoot also of that article.
I think it was answering a separate Harrow.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's a fantastic tool to use. Really good if you have a business.
I mean, I just, one of my bucket list things, you know, I've been quoted in, you know, Newsday, New York Times, Long Island Business News on a regular basis. Now I know, like, most of the reporters at Long Island Business News and at even Newsday, some of the business reporters there. Great people, and now they actually call me. A lot of times I don't even have to answer, you know, I don't have to go looking for the sources. Now they know who I am, and it's about going above and beyond the call of duty. When they ask you for information, you do your research and come back to them with everything that they need to know. So all they have to do is put it into, you know, nice English sentences, and you do all the research for them. So it's always good to go the extra mile. And also, you have to answer quick. Everybody's on a deadline over at these things. So they needed stuff immediately. Mm-hmm. So get back to the folks as quickly as possible. And when you're pitching somebody on, like if you answer a Harrow, you need to answer the question that they're asking. Nothing more, nothing less. And you need to also claim your expertise. You need to let them know that you're an expert. And a lot of people have a hard time doing that, talking about themselves. But you need to say, I've been in business for X amount of years. I've done this. I've done that. Whatever it is. If you've been in other media, you need to let them know that you've been in other media. So then they know that they're talking with somebody who's been there and done it. So they don't have to, like, go through all the technicalities of how to answer something. You know, you need to talk in sound bites, right? So that's something you tell me all the time.
Yeah, take a few seconds to think about what you're going to say, because your first few sentences in your pitch are as far as they're going to get. So if you don't catch them in those first few sentences, you're not going to have them.
And sometimes even in the subject line of the email. Is that important? Yeah.
Yes. You know, and if appropriate, infuse some humor into
the
email.
That's the biggest thing you can do.
Yeah. You know, if it's like you're answering as a lawyer or something, maybe it has to be a little bit more proper. But if you're talking to somebody, make it conversational, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people try to make things too formal, and I don't think that's the way to go anymore. Maybe at one point it was the formal letter. And also, I also want to say, we have no affiliation with Harrow, by the way. None whatsoever. It's just we use this service and we love it.
It just helped us out.
Yeah, so it's, you know, completely free. We get nothing out of talking about it. It's just, we really like it, so.
And it's something, you know, we're trying to help you out there, and that's what this show is all about. We're on a mission to help people grow their business and be successful, and this is one thing that you really need to spend time on, probably on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and look through your Harrow and answer, you know, queries that make sense for your particular, you know, industry or your particular professional status, whatever that is, and get a couple of things, you know, get quoted in a couple of articles. And, you know, a couple of months down the road, all of a sudden you'll be, you know, an acclaimed expert. And it goes a really, really long way.
It really does. And it's just a great place to start. If you're just starting out trying to get PR or marketing, it's free marketing.
Yeah. So
Free.
And so, you know, it could be anything from a blog, which is great because blogs are all online. So
A podcast.
You have to have a media presence these days, mm-hmm. Especially if you're in business, your website is kind of your storefront, but people are going to look and search to see. And if you are quoted in an article or two, in their minds, they're a lot more comfortable and they're a lot more trusting of you. So it really makes sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'll get, you know, TV people looking, for guests, and TV is very visual. So you got to really be able to have visual props or whatever it might be for your industry. Mm-hmm. That's something that's important. Radio is a big thing. I mean, at one point last year, I was doing, before I got this radio show that I do now every Tuesday night, I was on 3 radio shows a week all over the country talking about franchising. And because of that, the consistency, you know, this station now, 103.9, offered me this spot because I, you know, knew how to talk on the radios, I guess, is kind of what they told me. But it really, it becomes its own, you know, gets a life of its own, if you could understand what I'm saying. The more you do, the more you get. Also, I got involved with media training with a company called Quantum Leap, which is something I highly recommend to folks. There's something called a media summit that happens in Manhattan twice a year, where if you have a book that you're pitching, you could meet more than 100 media people in just 2 or 3 days at the media summit.
Mm-hmm. Quantum Leap, I would say 90% of the people there are authors, though.
Right.
They're authors of books. They have businesses, but most of them have books as well.
Or
trying to write a book.
Right.
In regard to their business.
Right.
So, and we met what kind of business? We met people, nutritionists, we met real estate people, we met financial advisors that all wrote books
travel agents.
Travel agents. So really, there is no business out there that you can't be the expert in.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what you can do. But of course, if you write a book, that's a whole nother level of media exposure. Mm-hmm. And Quantum Leap could help you write that book. And there's a lot of other agencies out there, you know, Jack Canfield's people, Pat Arbery. And,
there's a lot of stuff out there, yeah. But we don't have any affiliation with any of them, and we're not, you know, being paid to say anything. So I don't want to go too deep into anything.
Yeah, but it's how we've succeeded, though. We've, you know, we've done these things. It just doesn't happen out of thin air. We work at it, and it's really, really important to do that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about investing in yourself.
Investing in yourself is probably the most important thing you could do. 10% of your income, in my opinion, should be spent on your self-development. And I'm talking after college. So if you're 40 or 50 years old, you should go to a seminar or two.
In what you want to learn. In something you want to be an expert in.
Right. Or to augment yourself, you know, getting over self-limiting beliefs or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. There's great, great seminars out there, which I could...
Or even coaches, you know, hire a coach. If you want to be a salesperson, you hire a sales coach or go to a sales seminar. You always should be investing back into yourself.
Sandler Training.
So what is this? Sandler Sales commercial?
No, these are things that change my life.
These are things that, right, the things that we've done over the years that have really...
impacted.
I mean, our income has been...
Whatever.
Ten times. Yeah. it's awesome. It's just great. So that's really important, I think, to invest in yourself and become the person you want to be. And along the way, getting media coverage is one thing, yes, but you have to be ready when the media comes. You know what I mean? You have to be mediagenic. Is that what it says? That's
Did you make that up?
I did not.
Wow. Mediagenic.
Mediagenic.
So, what was here? Telegenic, right? Photogenic is the word you hear. Telegenic.
Photogenic.
Telegenic.
No.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, mediagenic makes sense.
Yeah, so across the media, you have to know how to speak in sound bites. You'd have to know how to present yourself, how to dress, and all these great things.
Awesome. Got to cut you off because we got to talk about one more thing that we promised we were going to talk about.
Oh, what's that?
How to work with your spouse without going to jail. No? We're not doing that? Okay. So,
no, we could do that. That's fine. I'm kidding. We could do that. It's, you know, we did work together for a very long time in the business. And neither one of us went to jail. So that's good.
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. It's, you know, if you're working with a partner, you know, and you're not married, but if you are married, it takes a lot to work with your spouse. Because you're in different roles now. So the person that you married is, and the things that you loved about that person kind of change in the business environment. So you got to know how to deal with it.
I think the most important thing is knowing what the other person's strengths are and filling that role and having them fill that role.
Right.
So
if
I am terrible with numbers. I mean, so bad with numbers. I've never written down a single thing in my check registry thing. Never.
Yeah.
Never wrote. I don't even know what that book is for. I have no idea. I write the checks and that's that.
That's bad. So you don't want to run a business like that.
No, I don't. Because that's not my thing. I'm more of a front, you know, front office person, front, you know,
yeah,
I'm customer a meter, server. Agree to customer service, right? I'm great at that kind of thing. So I always took the front of the lead
and
with
I
that.
And I was more introvert, more back office. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do, if you're listening to this now and you don't have it, you need to write a business plan with the delegated responsibilities of each of the partners in the business. It's a really, really important thing to do. So everybody knows what their place is and what they're doing.
Right. And an important, we were talking about it, I think, on the break, a great, great book to read if you are in business with your spouse is The Five Love Languages by who?
Dr. Chapman.
I think it's Gary Chapman. Amazing book. It made such a difference in our marriage and in our business. We don't really have a lot of time to talk about this, but I wish we did because...
We do seminars on it, so, you know, you could check the website and look at the seminars we're going to be doing upcoming on how to work with your wife and spouse.
It's just a fantastic book, and it really will make a difference in everything, in your marriage.
There's five love languages. that Dr. Chapman identifies, and everyone has a different love language based on how they were brought up by their parents, mostly their mother, and the way you expect your spouse to behave is how your parents behaved treating you growing up. So like in my old, you know, my Italian mother would do everything for me and my brothers, right? So do the clothes, you know, do the laundry, cook dinner, clean up. She would do everything.
You were born with your love language. Your mother didn't create it.
Well, yeah.
I think parents need to learn their children's love language too.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But anyway, we only have 2 minutes left. Let's sum it up. Let's sum it up.
This went so fast. I don't even know.
I know,
where to start.
It really did because I was here tonight. That's why.
It's the Tommy and Gina show.
It's the Tommy and Gina show.
It's Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, Tommy and Gina.
I don't know.
We are, again, this is the Franchise Academy radio show, and we're talking about how to be an expert in your field. Really important to get on Harrow, H-A-R-O. Harrow.com and yes. Answer queries and, you know, that are in your field. Don't stretch yourself. Don't make up somebody who you're not. Be real. Be authentic.
Because you are an expert.
And you are an expert in what
you do. Right. You are an expert in what you do. Nobody does it better than you.
Yeah. And be confident in that and claim your expert status. Mm-hmm. It's really an important step to take, is really be willing to talk about who you are and what you've accomplished, because people need to hear your story. Mm-hmm. So that's something we could talk about maybe next week, is how to tell your own personal story.
And stories are everything now, right?
Yeah, it is everything.
And a lot of, you think about that when you're pitching your media as well, because use stories.
Mm-hmm. There's I'm thinking about all sorts of stories that we should tell that we can't, because we only have a minute left. But the whole idea of you know, taking a chance and building your own life, creating your own reality, is what we're all about. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it, we've been testing it, and we figured it out. And so, you know, we'd love to share it with you. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to Tom at thefranchiseradioshow.com. Again, Tom at thefranchiseradioshow.com. Any questions? And look out for my books. We got Franchise Savvy out there. And it's on Audible, and it's selling really well on Audible, so I'm excited about that.
Yep. And you can reach me at Gina Scotter at AOL. Yes, I'm still on AOL. And look out for my book, Rock Your Second Act. It's coming out soon.
This is a Franchise Radio Show, and look forward to talking to you guys next week. God bless, and God bless America.
Good night, everyone.